welcome each and every one of you here this morning. What a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord. I know the snow has kept a lot away, but we're happy to see those who are here. Let us quiet our hearts as we have the prelude. You have none? Okay, we're going to the bell choir. All right, the bell choir will bring us some special music.
Thank you. Thank you.
you, Bell Choir, God has given you a special gift, the playing. Before we go into the call to worship, I have a poem I'd like to give to you and read to you. We talk about love one another, and this is what it's all about. He loves you. It's amazing and incredible, but it's true as it can be. God loves and understands us all, and that means you and me. His grace is all sufficient for both the young and the old, for the lonely and for the timid, for the brash and for the bold. His love knows no exceptions, so never feel excluded. No matter who or what you are, your name has been included. And no matter what your past has been, trust God to understand. And no matter what your problem is, just place it in His hand. For in all of our unloveliness, His great love, God's great love is still. He loved us since the world began, and what's more, He always will. I'd like for you to stand, shake the hand to your neighbor, and say, God loves you. Would you please stand? Isn't it wonderful to know that God loves us? How beautiful. Well, as you take your seat, we'll come to the call to worship. Okay. The call to worship is grace unto you and peace from God, who was the and who is and who is to come.
And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, ruler above all rulers of the earth.
In love, Jesus Christ suffered death to free us from our sins.
Thank you all who confess Christ, the nation and the priests, that is the power for God's service.
To Jesus Christ be glory and power forever and ever. The opening hymn is Praise Him, Praise Him, number 281 in the Brown Hymnal.
Praise Him, praise Him, number 281.
Father, we come to you this morning's hour to thank you for bringing us safely here. We come to you because you know you're the one that we need to be asking for help in time of need. We thank you for each one who is here this morning. Just bless them in a special way. Give us peace and give us comfort to go forth from day to day. Give us blessings, we ask in your name. Amen. At this time, let's read the offertory prayer together. O God, our offerings proclaim that work and the worship are one, that life is divided. Use these gifts for your church ministries of reconciliation, service, and mercy. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward? The children are dismissed to go to junior church. The offertory hymn is Just As I Walk With Thee, Just A Closer Walk With Thee.
Thank you.
Marty will come now with the prayer time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you here this morning, and some of you braved the weather this morning. Just to give you an idea, whenever we have snow or ice on Sunday morning, what I usually do is I come to the church at 6 o'clock to check out the road conditions, make sure everything's okay. And this morning, I was here about shortly after 6 and saw the roads were just simply wet and slushy, maybe not where you live, but from my house to here. So I just let David know, our board chair, that everything seemed pretty good this morning. So anyway, so it's good to see all of you here this morning. I want to thank Grace for being worship leader this morning. Just a note about that special music, that was a wonderful anthem, Tell to the Nations, a wonderful gospel song that we need to uphold and lift in the church. In your bulletins, you'll see announcements this morning. I just want to go over a few announcements before we get into the sharing time. You can see under our refrigerator news, we have a kind of a busy week this week. Bible study continues on Monday this week. We're looking at Genesis chapters 3 and 4. So I invite those of you to come out for Bible study. The next night we have our church board meeting and then choir practices from the rest of the week. Also, just to let you know in the bulletin, also you might want to check your mailboxes this morning to pick up your tax statements of giving to the church. It's always important. I also want to mention the honor of the passing remembrance of Clarence Krall this morning. The Yale Rose this morning is in remembrance of Clarence Krall, who passed away January 6th, 1798. In your bulletins, you'll see a list of names that we need to keep in prayer this week. We want to lift up the family of Anna Mae Snyder, whose son Michael passed away this past week. We're going to be having our services here tomorrow. The visitation is from 10 o'clock to 11 tomorrow morning here, and then the service, the memorial service, will be at 11 o'clock here. So I invite you to come support the family in that time of prayer. And also remember the names there in the prayer concern list for our prayer this morning. Let's come to our God this morning for our morning prayer. Let us pray. God, we come to you this morning in this cold winter day, Lord. For many of us, this was a sacrifice to come this morning, and we thank you for the sacrifice that each one of us has made to be here this morning. We know, Lord, that you are here this morning, and we thank you for your presence, and we trust and believe, Lord, that you're going to do a work this morning in this time of worship. We pray for the many people, Lord, who could not get out this morning for health reasons, for weather reasons. We pray your blessings upon them this morning. Lord, this morning we come with humble hearts, knowing, Lord, that you're going to do a work in our lives and in the church today. Lord, we come and we come with our support this morning to Anna Mae Snyder and the family, and upon the passing of Michael. We pray that you would give this family strength and your Holy Spirit, your comfort, during the time of Michael's loss. We pray that you would guide the service tomorrow, Lord, that it would bring honor and glory to Michael in remembrance of his life, and to bring honor and glory to you, Lord. Lord, this morning we want to remember and uplift the many who are on the prayer concern list. Lord, many names here this morning, Lord. We know, Lord, that each one has a different circumstance, that a challenge that they're facing. We pray that you would give each one of them, Lord, your strength and peace to know, Lord, that you are with them in their trial and in their illness, Lord God. Lord, this morning we pray for our nation. We continue to pray for our nation, for our leadership, and for our president. Lord, that we would be united as one, as a nation. But most of all, Lord, we pray that we would be united in following you, O God. Because, Lord, without your guidance, without your blessings, without a country that submits to you, Lord, the country is doomed. But we know, Lord, that when we follow your principles and your ways, Lord, that you would bless the nation. We pray for our denomination, Lord, that we would be faithful in following your commands, Lord. We uplift, Lord, the church here, the ministry of this church. We uplift board meeting this week, Lord, that as we begin a new year, that we would have fresh new ideas and goals, Lord, to accomplish, Lord, as a church. We pray that we would always look to you and seek your Holy Spirit for guidance, Lord, as a church. We pray for the needs of the ministry here in this church. We pray that we would trust and believe, Lord, that you are going to provide for the needs of this ministry. But most of all, we pray for each one of us, that we would do our part and be faithful in our attendance, be faithful in giving to you and the church. And we just trust and believe, Lord, that you would provide that blessing that we need. Lord, we pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we look into the scripture text this morning. Lord, that these words of scripture, Lord, would stick to our hearts, that we would receive the message, Lord, that you want us to have as a church. We thank you and we praise you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, last week in the message, we looked at Jesus' baptism, and we looked at about what baptism means. This week, the message continues with the testimony of John the Baptist as he looks to Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So this morning's scripture text from John 1, 29 to 42, this takes place shortly after Jesus' baptism. Today we're going to be looking at John the Baptist and the followers, one of the first followers of Jesus Christ with Peter and Andrew. Let's look at the passage today from John chapter 1, verses 29 through 42. John 1, verses 29 through 42. The title of this section of scripture in my Bible says, "The Lamb of God." Hear the word of the Lord. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.' Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. May God add blessing in the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, which brings us to a closer walk with you. Lord, I pray that you would guide every word that I speak, that it would bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. When I was in first and second grade in elementary school, we had something every week called show and tell. Each week, our teacher would allow time for anyone in the class to come up front and show off their latest new toy. And this, I remember, became very competitive because there were kids who thought that they had the latest toy that everyone wanted to buy. Well, one week I won the prize for the most popular toy. I brought in my new 1966 Ford Mustang, a little car like that. That car was a hit because, for those of you who remember, 1966 Mustangs were hot cars. They were hot items at that time. That car was a hit with every kid in the class. Even the girls liked it at that time. But I remember before I took it in, my parents didn't want me to take it. They were afraid that someone would break the car because they invested a lot of money for that toy. But I wanted to take it because I wanted to show it off to every kid in the class. That way everyone would say, "That's a great car," and then it would make me feel better. Well, what is it that you like to show and tell others? You know, we do that. We have something special in our lives that we like to show and tell others. Something maybe that you might want to sell something. I remember if there's something, maybe you had something where someone was trying to sell you something, but you didn't want it. When I lived in Ohio, I was part of a pastor's group that would go on the local Christian radio station, and we do prayer time. You know, the pastor, local pastors would spend a half hour on the air praying over people's prayer requests as they called them in. And one time, I was on the air and I shared a devotion, and in my devotion, I said something about how I had a hard time sleeping the previous night. Well, the next day, this lady who heard me on the radio called me on the phone. And she said, "Hey, I heard you say that you have a hard time sleeping at night." She said, "I have the perfect solution." She says, "Can I bring by this new mattress that I have in your office?" I reluctantly said yes. And so her and her associate came into the church office carrying this big, huge mattress. They plopped it on the floor. And they said, "If you buy this mattress, it's going to cure all your sleeping ailments." I said, "No thanks." And they drug it out. They weren't too happy with me, by the way, because they didn't buy it. But we live in this world of show and tell. But we find in today's lesson that there's a better strategy for selling something to other people. Instead of show and tell, we need to come and see. Come and see. People need to come and see themselves before they invest. And that's the way faith and discipleship works. This is the way people came to Jesus, as we're looking at today's text. People came to come and see Jesus. Then they would follow him. If you look at John chapter 1, verse 34, John says, "I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." This was John's witness. In fact, if you look at the entire gospel of John, John's entire message in his gospel was John wanted everyone to know that Jesus is the divine Son of God. But the question is, would people believe it? Would people believe it? Would they buy it? Later on, we see that we find the text, Andrew and Peter, who were one of the first ones who came to Jesus. They came to Jesus, and Jesus told them, "Come and see." Look at verse 39. Jesus said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. One biblical commentator I read summarized this passage from John by saying this, and I quote, "This narrative from John is alive with the joy of discovery." He says the true character of discipleship is to follow Jesus, then come and see. To see the truth themselves, then they must go and bring others to Christ. And that is a good model for church discipleship when you think about it. Follow Jesus, come and see the truth, and go bring others to Christ. Did you ever hear the saying that you learn something new every day? I don't know if you do that or not. Did you ever keep track of the new things you learn each day? Well, that phrase is not true for everyone. Because in order to learn something new, you must be open to learn the truth. And that's what the disciples were doing. They're open to hear the truth of Jesus Christ, and they followed. And this is how I hope all of you come to worship every Sunday. I pray that when you come here to worship, you would come with the spirit of wanting to learn something new, to discover something that is led by the Holy Spirit. And in order to do that, you must invite the Holy Spirit to come within you and show you some new truth that you need to hear and know, just like the disciples who came to Jesus. And then we tell others about Jesus and who Jesus is. So I want to look at this morning, I want us to look at these verses. And as we go over each verse, I want you to see something new that the Lord might be showing you today. It might be something that you never heard before. Maybe you're familiar with this passage, but God always reveals new truth. And then you can apply it in your life so that you'll be able to come and see who Jesus is. Let's look at the first verse, verse 29. It says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now let's look at John the Baptist. Who exactly was John the Baptist? John was the one who prepared the people to come to Jesus. John was the one who prepared the people to come to Jesus. He calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So this has some theological truths that we need to know. What was John's message to the people about Jesus? The first one is, Jesus is our Lamb. Jesus is our Lamb. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 7, the Old Testament says, "He was led as a lamb to the slaughter." Jesus made the great sacrifice for sin in our lives. He did that for you. He did that for me. And without Jesus in our lives, we are like lost sheep without a shepherd, which is why Jesus is called our Lamb. And then God used John the Baptist as the one who came to the people before Jesus came. He prepared people to see Jesus. John came bringing a message of repentance as a way that we are to come before God. And this is not a popular message for a world. In fact, if you look at John the Baptist was not a popular figure. He was not a popular figure. People in Bible times didn't really want him around. You know, he had this rough clothing, but more than that, he brought a very unpopular message of repentance. And when you think about it, it's not a popular message for a world today. Repenting of our sins, admitting that we have faults, it's not a feel-good message, is it? But according to the Bible, when you and I confess our sins, it's the only way we can become saved. It's the first step in salvation. Turn in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. That's right before Revelation. You find the epistles of John. And John here in 1 John talks about that an important message of forgiveness and confession. He says in verses 8 and 9, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so that's another message from John. John also talks about what baptism means. What baptism means, according to the Bible, is that baptism is an outward act which is followed by an inward change. In other words, baptism itself is just an outward exercise that we do, but it changes our lives inwardly. And in order for baptism to be effective in your life and my life, our lives need to have an inward change after we're baptized. We need to have a changed heart for God. We need to have a change of attitude. And this is why John told the Pharisees back in Matthew chapter 3, verse 8, when John was bringing this baptism of repentance, John told the Pharisees, "Bear fruits worthy of repentance." You know, all these Pharisees came forward thinking, you know, they're going to get baptized, receive this wonderful gift. But John saw inside their hearts. He says, you need to bear fruits worthy of repentance. Don't say we have Abraham as our father. You know, don't say we're good. That's basically what they're saying. You're not good, John says. And John says one of these days, Jesus will come and he will basically clean house. This was John's message of repentance and preparation for Jesus' coming. The next thing we see the power of the Holy Spirit at baptism. If you look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. We went over this last week with Jesus' baptism. Matthew 3, verse 11. It says, John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And so this is where we get the belief in the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what? The Holy Spirit is God's powerful work in your life. The Holy Spirit is God's powerful work in your life. From the time you accept Christ in your life, what does that look like? What does that look like in our lives? Look at Mark 1. Mark chapter 1, verses 10 to 11. It says, John baptizes Jesus. And after John baptized Jesus, it says in Mark 1, 10 to 11, "Immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him, that is Jesus, like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven saying, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And if you go back to the Gospel of John, today's text, in John 1, 32 to 34, John talks about his experience when he baptized Jesus. John was the one who baptized Jesus. And he testified, he said he saw the Holy Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And it remained upon Jesus. And he says, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So John is telling us through the Holy Spirit, I know that Jesus is God's Son, the Son of God. And that is a very basic belief. It's a very basic doctrine where we know that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is also talking about the Jesus of the Holy Spirit, as I call it, the Jesus of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit needs to be attributed and give honor to Jesus as he is the head of the church. Now, there's a lot of scripture that I don't have time to go into. There's a lot of scripture written about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins in the very first chapter and the very first verse of Genesis, where the Bible says the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And the doctrine of the Holy Spirit goes all the way through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, where the Holy Spirit came upon the church of Pentecost and gave the believers in the church different spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues back in 1 Corinthians, where the Holy Spirit comes down and gives gifts to believers, individual gifts. What we know as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there is such a thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where God gives certain people the gifts of tongues and certain gifts to use for ministry. But I want us for a moment to look at our tradition, the brethren tradition. What do brethren believe about the Holy Spirit? What do we really believe about the Holy Spirit? Well, the brethren really believe the Holy Spirit comes to us at the time when we're baptized. But we also believe that it doesn't just end there. The Holy Spirit continues to lead and guides every believer within the church after baptism. One of the practices that we value much in our brethren heritage is the laying on of hands. You know, we have the laying on of hands whenever someone is baptized. We also have the laying on of hands when someone is entering surgery or having a very difficult time. We have the laying on of hands with different officers in the church as they're being installed. We have the laying on of hands as we send missionaries out. It's to say that when we lay on hands, that the Holy Spirit comes to us through the lives of our sisters and brothers. And I can remember a very powerful moment in my life when I attended Camp Swatara for a student young adult conference. We had everybody lay hands on each other, and I just felt the Holy Spirit coming upon so many young adults then. And I remember, this was back in the early 80s, so many of those young adults that were my age went into ministry. It wasn't any coincidence. It was because we had the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. So let's go back to John and see what else he says. John chapter 1 verses 35 to 37. John chapter 1 verses 35 to 37. John says, again the next day John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Couple things here. It says the disciples heard John speak about Jesus, but who did the disciples follow? They didn't follow John, they followed Jesus. That's important to know. And that's exactly what John wanted. You know, John is the person to admit that Jesus is mightier than him. And so the disciples followed Jesus instead of John. They heard John speak, but they followed their Savior. And that's really the way preaching should be. You You know, when it comes to preaching, you don't follow the person, you don't follow the preacher, you follow instead the message, the gospel message. Look at John 1, verse 38. When the disciples followed Jesus, Jesus turned and seeing them, followed, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" Now these are powerful words to us from Jesus. When Jesus says, "What do you seek?" that should really speak to our hearts. What do you seek today? Do you seek success? Do you seek happiness? Do you seek financial security? Love and acceptance? And so when we look at the two disciples, we don't really know what was going on with them. We didn't know what was going on in their lives when Jesus says, "What do you seek?" William Barclay, a Bible commentator, says this: "At this time when Jesus came to these disciples, Galilee was thick with fishing boats." You know, Peter and Andrew were fishermen. And at that time, fishing was big business. Big business. Matthew's version of this account says, "When Jesus called Peter and Andrew to follow Jesus, they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus." So what was it that drew them to Jesus? Were they having a bad day? Maybe things weren't going their way and they thought, well, this might help my life. Hard to say. But they did know, and they believed that Jesus had a better way for them. And then Jesus simply told them, "Come and see." Now, when we look at these words, "come and see," sometimes the world ends up looking at that as pick and choose. Come and see and pick and choose. I remember when I was in college, there was a course that the college offered that was called Introduction to Christianity. Very interesting, and I would say controversial course. Because in this course, there is an assignment that the instructor gave. And each student in this class had to pick a particular church denomination or religion and defend that faith in saying, you know, why do you think that is, you know, true? Why is it, quote, the best denomination? And I wasn't in the class, but I heard a lot about it at lunchtime in the cafeteria. I remember one student did the Quaker faith. Another student did the Presbyterians. And we had one lone person who did the Church of the Brethren. And I heard a lot of stories about the class because that class became very controversial. Because each student was making their claim that they knew the truth, that they had the one true religion. And that made the other students mad and competitive. And when you think about it, that describes how our world is today. You know, we have wars and arguments over different faiths and beliefs. Well, I say this, there are only, when it comes to the gospel message, there are only two beliefs, there are only two religions, two denominations, if you want to call it that. One is that you accept Christ and you're a follower of Christ. The other is that you reject him. Those are the only two. Jesus says himself in John 14, verse 6, "I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And this is what Jesus said. If you look at verse 42, when Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, Jesus said to him, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. A very important message there. That meant that Peter had a solid foundation in following Christ and accepting Christ. Peter was the one who said in front of Jesus, "You're the Christ, Son of the living God." And Jesus told him, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And so I want to challenge you and ask, does this describe your faith in Christ this morning? Do we have the faith of Peter, who when he saw Jesus said, you know, Christ is the one true faith and the one true truth that I'm only going to follow? Do we have that this morning? Do you know Christ as your solid rock? Do you have that solid foundation in your life? If you do, then you can invite others to come and see Jesus, and the church will build, and the church will be glorified. Come and see our Lord. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us the truth in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have Jesus as our example, that we see Jesus through ministry, that we see Jesus through gifts of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit, which points us towards Jesus and gives glory to Jesus. We thank you for the church and how you gave us the church to be our solid rock. We thank you for those who have gone before us, who have laid the foundation of the church. We pray that we as a church will continue to build on that foundation by knowing ourselves, Jesus, within our own hearts and minds. And I pray for anyone this morning who needs to make a commitment, a solid commitment in you, Lord, that they would do that today to bring glory and honor to you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing our closing hymn, a very important hymn, Only Trust Him, number 197. Would you stand, please?
Thank you.
as we leave this place of worship this morning, let's take to heart the words of Jesus with the Great Commission, where Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And Jesus says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age."